Lord, we just seek your presence. We seek your anointing. We just ask you to breathe life into your word this morning. Breathe life into worship today. Breathe life, Lord. Because everything we say and do is dead unless you breathe in it. And we want your life. We want your presence. We want to worship you in spirit and in truth. Help us, Lord, to just lay our flesh aside. Lay aside any of our pride, selfishness, worry, problems. Let us just lay it all aside and wish, Lord, you could just peel our flesh off like a banana peel and we could just get free in spirit today. You are so beautiful. You are so holy. You are so good. You are awesome, God. And we want to behold you this morning. We want to love you. Come and meet with us. In the name of Jesus. I told God this morning, you know, I would really like it if you just didn't even give me a message today, because we don't even need one. What we need is you. And I would love if we'd just stand there and wave our hand and go, have some God. And that would... He would just overwhelm, you would overwhelm everybody, and we'd all just see you and feel you and enjoy you. But then you gave me a message, so we're going to bring it. I love your sense of humor, God. You asked me to go and sit in my chair in the living room and just lay back and soak in your presence. And as I did, I saw a big bag of green beans, fresh from the garden. And you asked me to snap them. Snap those little ends off, you know. I hate snapping green beans. I love eating green beans. I hate snapping green beans. So that's our message today, snapping green beans. I don't like to do it, and I don't have to do it, because Harvey likes to do it. So I just always hand him the bag while he's watching TV and say, snap all these beans and I'll cook them. I don't like to peel white potatoes. Harvey loves to peel white potatoes. So I just hand him the bag, and if I don't stop him, if I handed him a 10-pound bag, he'd peel all 10 pounds. So I don't have to do that. But in this little vision this morning, I had the thought, God wants you to snap those green beans. And immediately I argued and said, that's not a spiritual thing. I'll just have Harvey snap those beans. Just so they get snapped, right? And I kind of argued it away. And I thought, yeah, right, that's not a spiritual thing. That's not God. It's not even important. It's just so silly. And I didn't snap those beans in my little vision. And then the Spirit of the Lord showed up in the vision and said, you just lost an opportunity to obey me. And I went, whoa, it was God. And I missed it. He said, yes, you did. You did not pass this test. Wow, I was so grieved. How could snapping beans be important to God? How could that be a test? You know, he's getting ready to prepare us for instant, immediate, non-argumentative, non-compromising obedience. Amen. It's like the parent saying, do not go in the road. And that child goes, but there's my ball, I'll be quick. And they get hit by the car. We want our children to trust us. There's a reason we tell them not to go on the road. There's a reason we make them eat those nasty peas they don't like. There's a reason that they don't understand. Well, God is training us. He's preparing us. He's preparing us for things to come. I want you to forget. I mean, well, maybe just for learning, you can remember something he told you to do that you're not doing. Because maybe you've argued it away or compromised it. So for learning's sake, you can remember it. But I want us to begin right here, right now, today, to say, I want to become obedient to anything and everything that he tells me to do. Now, why did he use green beans? He used green beans with me because he knew it was something I don't want to do. He might come and ask you to do. It's not hard. It's possible. You just don't want to. You don't like it. Man, those are the hardest things for me. You know, if God came and said, go over to your neighbor and bake a pie, and well, that would be hard. I don't like to bake. But if he said, buy a pie and give it to your neighbor, tell him Jesus loves you, I could do that. But I don't want to snap that stupid bean. I don't want to. It's boring. It's monotonous. I don't know why. I just don't like it. It's not hard. I just don't like it. But then there's the hard things. Then there's the things that are hard. Quit smoking. Quit drinking. Give up your favorite TV show. Wow, just for 1 week, God? Maybe forever. Wow, now that's hard. And it's continual. And the longer we have to do it, the more we start compromising it. Well, maybe he only meant for a month. And I've done it for a month. Now I can start again. No, don't compromise what he asks you to do unless he comes back and tells you different. So that's what we're going to talk about today. John 14:15. You want to turn there? Do it anyway. Let's start practicing. That's one of those easy things. Just turn the page. John 14:15, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep. That word keep means guard, protect, hold on to what I said. Hold on to what I asked you or told you. Hold on to it. Because the devil is going to come and try to talk you out of it. He's going to come and try to tell you that's not what God meant. That's what he did with Eve. God said, you shall not eat of that tree. The devil came along and said, did not God say you may eat of all the trees? She says, yeah, but not that one. He said, you know why God said that? You know why gets us in so much, that's sign language, why. You know that word why gets us in more trouble? When you tell your kids, don't do that, and they say, why? What they're saying is, if you give me a good enough reason, maybe I'll obey. But if I don't understand why, I'm not going to do it. So, why is a word that came from the devil.
That's right.
God told you not to eat that fruit on that tree. Why? Oh, well, maybe because it wasn't ripe enough yet, but now it is. Go ahead and have one. Now they're ripe. God was only protecting you from eating the raw apple. It was green. It wasn't ready. Now it's bright red. See, God would be fine with it. Now, once he gets you on the why trail, he can lead you into his reasoning, which reasons out God's word. So God says, keep my commandments. Guard what I said to you. Write it down exactly the way I said it. And don't change it. Don't add words to it. Take words away from it. Put a time limit on it. Exactly what did I say to you? Guard it, keep it, protective. And what are his commandments? That word said, it is an authoritative prescription. I love that. Dr. Jesus prescribed exactly what you need to do. That's really awesome. It is a precept, an idea, a thought. It is what's on God's mind for you and his heart, on his plan book for your life. It's an act that he has imposed upon you to do. So we need to protect whatever God says. Don't compromise, don't argue. Verse 21, Jesus says, he that has my commandment and keeps them, he it is that loves me. And he that loves me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and I will manifest myself to him. Now that's why I want to obey him. I'm not just a well-disciplined soldier that says, I want to see how good I can do this thing better than anybody else. And, you know, I've never been that kind of a person. I've been the kind of person that said, no, that's hard, I can't do it. No, I don't want to, I don't like it. That's the kind of person I was. But this verse says, Jesus says, if you love me and obey me, I'm going to manifest myself. I'm going to reveal myself to you. I'm going to come to you and show myself to you. I'm going to open up the secrets of me to you. I'm going to come and be with you. Wow, that excites me because I do love him. And I want to see him. I want to know him more. I want to be with him. That's why I want to obey him. That's why I'm going to snap those silly beams. In verse 22, Jesus said unto him, not Judas Iscariot. He didn't care what Jesus wanted. The other Judas. He said, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself unto us and not unto the world? Why would you show yourself to me, God, and not to the world? Have you ever looked at somebody who doesn't know if God's real, if they don't believe God, and you're trying so hard to make them see the reality of Jesus? You want them to believe in him. And you're thinking, Jesus, why don't you just prove yourself? Just show yourself to them. Come and manifest who you are to them, and then they'll believe in you. No, they wouldn't. He reserves showing himself to those who love him. To those who love him. And it wouldn't work. You know, in Luke 16, this rich man that died and went to hell, and then he lifted up his eyes to Abraham, and he said, you just give me a little bit of cold water. And then he said, oh, God, if you would just let me go from this place and tell my brothers and warn them so they'd never come here. And the Lord said, if they do not believe the prophets, the scriptures, they wouldn't even believe if a dead man came back and told them. They wouldn't believe it. You know, God told me in the day of power, there is a day of power coming when God is just going to unleash all kinds of miracles. One of those miracles is raising some dead people. I got thinking about that after my sister died. I believe God told me she's going to be one of them he's going to raise from the dead. He raised Lazarus after 4 days. That body is decaying in 4 days. It doesn't matter, 4 days, 40 years. I mean, he's going to have to give him a new body. So I got thinking about it because her children don't believe in Christ. And I got thinking about that. What if my sister all of a sudden is raised from the dead and goes to her own children and says, God is real. He raised me from the dead. Do you know some people would sooner believe alien invasion, body snatching aliens, than that God raised somebody from the dead? You're not my mother. I saw that body snatching movie. You must be an alien that stole my mom's body out of the grave. They believe that quicker than to believe God did it. That kind of miracle doesn't prove to the heathen. God's plan is to manifest himself to those who love him. Yeah.
Miracles do not produce faith. Faith produces miracles.
Right. Miracles do not produce faith. Faith produces miracles. That is true. So he said, why, God? Why do you reveal yourself to us and not to the world? Verse 23, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man loves me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loves me not keeps not my sayings, and the word you hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. If we love him, then he and the Father will come and live and stay and show themselves to us. Have you ever had a real vision where you were with God? I see some hands. Who's had a vision where they've really experienced being in the presence of God in a vision? That's awesome. A lot of people in this room. Who would like to? Wouldn't you like God to just come down and reveal himself to you? He will. If you love him, follow him, choose him, make him your life. You know what? It's not giving up your life. It's finding your life. It's why you're here. It's what you were created for. It's who you really are. Nothing can satisfy you more than finding out who you really are and beginning to see, you know, God, my multi-faceted diamond vision of God again. Every little facet of God each little facet. The facet of God is a revelation of Harvey. So when Harvey comes and sees the true God in spirit, he is seeing a part of God that he was created to reflect. That's why you love that part of God. You relate to that part of God. You can get to know him fully, and as you do, you're getting to know who you are, and it excites you, and it breathes life into you. That's what he wants, is for you to find out who he is, find out who you are in him. Come alive, really alive. That's what he wants, and it's given to those who love him. And if we love him, we keep his sayings. We follow him. We listen to him. We obey him. There are things coming. There are things coming to this world. And God is looking for those who will stand with him, walk with him, carry him, release him to win other people, to rescue the perishing, to heal the sick, to love the wounded. But love, your love, has to be in agreement with God. And in that, you need some training. Because we're worldly, we're carnal. We don't do what we don't like to do. God does what he doesn't like to do. We don't do what's too hard. But God can do what we can't. He can do what we can't if we let him. Now I'm going to move to the things we can't do. Because there are things we cannot do. But when God says do it, and we step into doing it, that's when his power, that's when his grace releases. If we don't step into doing it, we just stand back saying, I can't, I can't, I can't. You know, I thought about this with the children, because a lot of times what we bring in here, then sometimes they take that to the toddlers, you know, and bring it down to their language. And I'm envisioning, because I used to teach kindergarten, and you have to illustrate everything with kids. So I was going to tell them, this is what it's like when you say, I can't, I can't, I can't. You know the book, The Little Engine That Could? When you're saying, I can't. And you just stand there and you droop your shoulders and you drop your lip and you look at the floor. You go, I can't, I can't, I can't. But that little engine that could, he had to get his engines revved up and pick his little head up and go, I can, I can, I think I can, I think I can, I think I can. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. I can do what I can't do only when Christ does it in me. I can decide what I want to do. And I can't. But when he tells me what to do, and I do it, then he does it. He empowers it. He is my strength. In my weakness, his strength is made perfect. But my obedience proves that I love him. It proves that I trust him. It proves that I will step out to what I can't do. When Peter said, Lord, if you bid me to walk on water, I can. And Jesus said, come. All he said was, come. And Peter stepped out of that boat and started walking on water. And it was like, whoa, because Jesus said I can, I will. And he started walking on water until he took his eyes off Christ. And he looked down and he went, what the heck am I doing? That's water. And he sunk. He looked at the problem instead of the problem solver. We can do anything through Christ. We can't make up what we want to do, though. It's obedience to what he says he wants
right.
to do.
Exactly.
Now, he's preparing us for things he's going to say he's going to do. One day he's going to say, tell that dead person to wake up. Tell that armless man to grow an arm. And we need to be ready to say, well, Jesus said it, so I believe it.
That's right.
Grow an arm. Get up out of that grave.
Yep.
But how do we get there from here? Snap the green beans. Give up that movie. Begin obeying him, because when you do, he will manifest himself. He will show himself. He will reveal himself. And when you see him, you don't have any problem believing what he can do.
Right.
When you see God, you'll know what he can do. But he won't show himself till he knows you love him enough to trust him, to obey him. To walk in his power, his reality, not yours. We're trapped here. We're trapped. We're confined. He's not. He's not confined or trapped. by humanity. He was for 33 years. He had to do it the same way we do, just depending on the Spirit. Someday we'll get free like him. Which verse did I read? Okay, here we go. So the truth is, if God says to do it, you can do it. Philippians 2, don't leave Proverbs. We're not, where was I at? John. Don't leave John, but Philippians 2:13 says, for it is God which works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. He works in you to do it when he tells you to do it. Now verse 25 back in John. These things I have spoken to you, being yet present with you. Now there's an opportune moment when God is speaking to you. There is that moment when you sense his presence. God is speaking to me. Maybe you're reading scripture, and that scripture just comes alive to you. He's speaking to you. Maybe you're in a vision or in prayer, and you just know that you know this is what God is saying to you. Jesus is right here. He's speaking. He's made the word jump alive. He's given me a thought, and I know that it's him. He's here. I can do it because Jesus is here with me, and yay! But he said, I spoke this to you, yet being present. Why did he say that? He's getting ready to leave them. Sometimes in our testing, after he says what he wants us to do, it's like, now where'd you go, God? You know, I'm trying to do what you told me to do, but I haven't sensed your presence for days, maybe weeks. I don't know where you are. I don't feel you anymore. Guess what? Discipline is learning to do what he said when you don't feel him anymore. He's there. He's hiding because you're being tested. Your love is being tried. If a woman marries a soldier and she feels his arms around her, she feels his kisses, she hears his words, and then he goes to war. She has to live on that love. She has to live on that commitment when she can't feel his arms around her. He might be gone for 2 years, but she has committed herself to be faithful. She has committed herself to the things they agreed on. And she's waiting. Jesus gives us a word. We live by obedience to that word. When he withdraws and we don't feel him, that's when our love is really tested. I don't feel you anymore. I don't want to do it anymore. You're like, you abandoned me. I didn't abandon you. I didn't abandon you. He says, these things I've spoken to you, yet being present with you, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, which the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. He's our tutor. He's our mentor. Holy Spirit is in you. And those little thoughts that come to your mind when you don't feel the loving presence, those little thoughts that jump in your mind, that's the Holy Spirit. He's speaking. And he will bring to remembrance whatever I have said to you. You might try to forget it, but the Holy Spirit's like a nagging woman sometimes. You go, oh, I wish I didn't know God told me to do that, you know, but he keeps saying, but you know that he did. This is what he said. Those thoughts come back. There's proof the Holy Spirit's there. 27, peace I give with you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. As soon as you start to argue with what God said, you lose your peace. As soon as you think of a way to compromise it, you go into confusion. Let not your heart be troubled. Don't let your heart get stirred up with that confusion. Neither let it be afraid. Scary things might be ahead of us. If God told you to go over in Pontiac, where I grew up, we had a place called the Projects. That was like the poverty neighborhood. And I was there during racial wars, and the policemen didn't even dare drive in that neighborhood. They'd get shot. We had a woman in our church that said there was a deaf family, and we were in a deaf work, and there was a deaf family that lived in the Projects. And this woman said, God told me to walk into that neighborhood and pray with that family. Everybody was saying, you've got to be crazy. You've got to be crazy. Because you couldn't drive in. They wouldn't let a car pass. That woman went into that neighborhood, and she walked past men who were harassing her, telling her they were going to get her, threatening her, calling her names. She walked past all of them right into that house, prayed with the dear family, and walked back out, and no one touched her. She had a word from God, and she went. And there was not a man in that church that would do it. But that woman had a word from God, and she didn't fear. Because when God tells you to do a thing, He's going to do it with you. And you got God surrounding you. And you know what? If they kill you, you get to go to heaven and get out of this trap. You know, threaten me with heaven. 28, Jesus said, "You have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again." He doesn't leave for long. He said, "I'll be back. I come again unto you. If you loved me, you would rejoice because I said, I go to the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it comes to pass, that when it is come to pass, you might believe." He said, "I'm telling you right now, today, Burning Bush, ministers, children of God, I'm telling you right now before it happens, I am going to speak some things to you. Some of them will be silly. Some of them you're going to want to argue with and say, that's not spiritual. I don't want to do it. I don't like it. I'm going to tell you some hard things to do, maybe scary things to do. I am going to come and leave and come and leave. I'm going to come, I'm going to speak to you, and then I'm going to back up and hide. But the Holy Spirit is with you, and He'll remind you of what I said. Keep doing it. And I'll be back. I'll come again. And when I come again and I find you still doing it, I'm going to be so excited. I'm going to manifest myself to you in new ways. Make myself known to you in new ways. How much do you want that?" See, we got to stand those times that we're waiting. Waiting and waiting and waiting. We've done a lot of waiting. But He's worth the waiting. And He's coming back. And I hate verse 30. He said, "Hereafter." I do. He said, "Hereafter I will not talk much with you." That's bad enough. I hate that part. He said, "For the prince of this world comes, and he has nothing in me." Do you know when we come in agreement with the prince of this world? Jesus backs up and he says, "Well, you're in conversation with the devil right now, and he has nothing in me, so I can't talk with you. Until you kick him out, I can't talk with you. I can't talk with you very much because you're hanging out with my enemy and breaking my heart. You need to kick him out. I'll come again." He says, "But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandments, even so I do." That I do. I do what my Father commanded me to do. I'm just doing what God told me to do. Because Jesus was in the flesh when he said these things. He was still trapped in a body. And you know the scripture that says you have to eat my flesh and drink my blood? Eat my flesh means look at my life that I lived in the flesh. Eat it. Nourish yourself on it. See how I lived. Live that way. He said, "I am in the flesh. And I'm doing whatever my Father tells me to do, exactly the way I'm going to ask you to do it." And then he said, "Arise. Let us go hence." What does that mean to you after this message? Arise. Let's go hence. Where's hence? That's an old-fashioned word. What is hence? What does that mean, Larry? You're a Bible scholar. Over there.
Actually.
Forward.
Over there would be this.
That's
here,
thence.
Here is hence.
Well, it's kind of let's go from here. Let's go there. Let's get into it. Let's do it. Come on, get up. Let's get into this. I brought you a word. Let's do it. Rise up out of your sadness. Rise up out of your sorrows. Rise up out of your I don't want to's. Rise up out of your I can't. And let's just go do it. Let's just do it. Let's get her done, Glenn. Move into what I've shown you. Number one, I'm going to give you some commandments. Guard them. Protect those words I give you. And I'm going to hide from you for a little while. And then when you obey me, because you love me, I'm going to come back and reveal myself in new ways to you. And I'm going to give you the peace that passes all understanding. And I'm going to leave you the Holy Spirit, who will empower you to do what I ask you to do when you obey. He will come again. Here's the decision Jesus made in the flesh that he wants us to make this morning. John 4:34. John 4:34. Jesus said unto them, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish the work." You are here to do his will and finish the work he gives you, which is simply to love him and obey him. My meat, what keeps me strong and alive, is to do God's will. If you're making that decision this morning, then I want to pray what Paul prayed in Colossians 1:9. "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." Snap your green beans. In the spirit. Anybody want to say anything? Where'd that mic go? Did you go get it? Oh, here it is. Who wants to say something? Glenn.
What came to me the whole time you were speaking was that we need to love the truth.
Yeah.
And the truth are his commandments and his words.
Yeah. Amen. Who else? God moving on you to speak right now, obey. Santiago.
I don't want to say this in front of everybody because I'm going to be held accountable for it, but I'm going to because I asked God last night to affirm and give me confirmation if telling me to quit cigarettes and cut back on caffeine was him talking. And you just had to say something about smoking today. That was God.
Jesus, give him the grace. Give him the power. Do it in him, Lord. Anyone else? By the way, he had me cut back on caffeine, too. Huh? He had me cut back on caffeine, yeah. Too. I didn't give up coffee, but I had to cut it in half. Yep. Just recently. Yeah, all right. It's for your health, for your good.
In verse 28, it says, Jesus says, "Ye have," in John 14:28, "Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you." Something he taught me a long time ago is we need to settle it in our hearts to stay and do where and what he appointed us. He knows our name, address, and phone number. He will let us know at the right time when he wants us to do something different.
My husband spent 9 years in Bible college because we were raising a big family and we had to keep them in school, pay bills. He finally got out. We had 1 year that he was in full-time ministry.
Two years.
I have no concept of time. He's been running Tub Glaze for 25 years, watching others go into full-time ministry while God told him, wait, wait, wait. He's still waiting. His whole heart is to be full-time ministry. He's still waiting. Most of you might have to wait a day or two on something right now. Maybe a year or two. He told Sarah she was going to have a baby. Finally, she's going to have a baby when she's 90. She waited a long time even to hear that word. And then she waited another 20 years before it happened. But she didn't stop believing. The bigger the miracle, maybe the harder the test, or the longer the wait. Preparation. You know, but that was one story in there he showed me. She had youth renewal. She got youth renewal. Because even at 90, when he traveled from town to town, he was afraid that men would so lust after his wife, they would kill him to get her. I don't think she was looking 90. Anyone else? Share your own testimony. What have you been waiting on, or how has God done this obedience thing with you? Judy.
Well, I've been going through a lot of stuff for a long time, trying to find a place to move to, and I am moving someplace that I really don't want to be moving to, but I'm doing it anyhow, because this, every time I prayed, God just kept telling me, just keep doing what you're doing, and it may not be the place forever, it won't be, but for now it is, and I'm not fully at peace with it, but I am getting there. But I know what Pastor Sue is talking about, where you feel like God has got you in a testing and he stepped back, because I'm kind of right there right now.
When God was going to bring us to Grand Rapids in 1989, for a whole year we were preaching all over the country, and God had said to me, I am going to move you to a new home church. And I argued with him for 4 months, and I finally, he didn't change his mind.
I argued for 5.
Years. And anyway, then I, 8 months after I surrendered, he brought us to Grand Rapids, and to preach in a church here for a week. And the very first night, he told me, this is the church I want you to join. And I said, if it is, you tell them. And then the pastor and assistant pastor came to me and said it 2 days later, exactly what God had said to me. And then the last night of the meeting, all the people of the church gathered around us and said it to us. So I knew God wanted us to come, because he told me, he'd been telling me for a year, and then he made it perfectly clear, and it wasn't my will, it wasn't my choosing. And I said yes, but I had her. And she did not want to come. She wanted to be where our kids are on the other side of the state. And so I said, God, if this is you, you're going to have to deal with her, because I can't. And so we fasted and prayed, and the third day she said, I don't know why we're doing this. We both know God wants us to move here.
See, fasting said, helps you listen to God real quick, because you want to eat.
And I said, so are you, do you know this, what God wants? Yes. I said, are you willing to do it? She goes, yes. It's now, you think, after all of that, God's just going to pour out blessing and all this. As soon as we joined that church, the pastor changed on us. Things that they said to us changed on us. They had told us things, and now it was like they lied. And the very first, as soon as we moved there, and my wife was like, run! Let's run! Look what they're doing! And I said to her, did God tell us to come here? Or did we come here because they asked us to come here? Or because we wanted to? Well, God said, but look what they're doing! I said, do you think it caught God off guard? Do you think it caught God by surprise? I said, do you think God didn't know what we were going to go through, what he was putting us, choosing to put us through. He put us here knowing what they would do. I said, and here's when God gave me that, and I shared it with Sue. I said, he knows our name, our address, and our phone number. When he wants us to do something different, he'll let us know. And until then, we're going to do what he said, no matter what everybody else. It doesn't matter what they do. I'm talking about it was so bad that that pastor is now in prison for the rest of his life. I'm talking about it is so bad that that church was dissolved, plowed under, and there's a parking lot at Jefferson and 36th where the church and the parsonage used to be. Because God wrote Ichabod over the place, which means his glory has departed. What I'm trying to tell you is you need to settle it in your heart. I'm going to do what he said. Not when I feel like it. Not if I like it. Not if it's what I want. Christ, Garden of Gethsemane. Father, let this cup pass from me. I don't want to go through this. You're going to treat me like Harvey? Give me what he deserves? I don't want to go through this. That'll kill me. Nevertheless, not my will, not what I want, but thine be done.